And our special guest this hour, F. William Ingdahl. He's back with us. His latest book is called The Lost Hegemon, Whom the Gods Would Destroy. And we're going to take your phone calls when we come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, William Ingdahl with us. William, of course, hegemony means, of course, a political, economic, or military domination over one state over another. Tell me about the title in your book, The Lost Hegemon.
Okay. If people go on my website, williamengdahl.com, they will see the picture of the cover. And the title, The Lost Hegemon, is in a faded gray, almost not visible to the eye. You have to look twice to see it. And then next to it is a tattered flag that reportedly was discovered on the site of the 9/11 Twin Towers attacks, an American flag, and it's virtually disintegrated. It's not disintegrated. You can still see the stars and stripes. And that, in a sense, embodies what this whole strategy since the Iraq War in 2003 and the whole Dick Cheney agenda of stirring up the world and extending NATO to the door of Russia and whatnot, and ever since then by Obama, America has lost its strategy. It's like the British Empire before 1914. It was collapsing. Its industrial base had long since collapsed in Britain, and still they go to war, and it's very similar to what's going on with Washington and Wall Street. The Wall Street banks are de facto brain dead since 2007, and they're kept alive by artificial life support from the Federal Reserve to the tune of trillions of dollars. It's mad. The fact that we do not have normal interest rates, 4-5% or whatever you want to call normal, 8 years into the crisis, the financial crisis, it's still at zero. And Janet Yellen yesterday announced that it's going to stay at zero.
It's going to stay there.
Obviously, she's a Hillary fan and doesn't want to create a bankruptcy stock market crash before the elections in November. But be that as it may, they cannot raise interest rates because the whole debt structure is so bloated and so dangerous that everything would
collapse.
Corporate America is, they've been outsourced. And, you know, we talked earlier about the Chinese, if I can just finish one point on
sure.
China. What is different about what China is doing with its economy, it's not doing it on a collapsed industrial base the way Wall Street is. What they're doing is shifting from a cheap labor economy, kind of a coolie labor economy of the last 25 years, where Nike and all these Western multinationals after WTO membership in China, they could take advantage of some of the lowest wages in the world for screwdriver assembly. Well, now the Chinese are developing their own high tech. They're doing what Japan did in the 60s and the 70s, and going from, you know, these little cupid doll exports to real high tech stuff. And there's some teething pains in that, but I think with the Silk Road as the leading edge of that, we're talking about a multi-trillion dollar infrastructure project crisscrossing Eurasia. And that means Russia, Central Asia, Iran, most likely Turkey is going to come into that with the shift that they've made in the last 3-4 months. And this is going to be the economic boom area of the entire world economy. So we have a choice, a clear choice. The United States can go down the tubes with wars everywhere and destruction, or we can say enough of this nonsense. Let's start building again. We have a $3 trillion infrastructure deficit in the United States alone. And instead of that, Obama is making wars everywhere. What's going on here? There's a real disconnect.
And William, let me ask you this question, then we'll go to calls here as
sure.
we line up for you. If all terrorism simply went away, do you think that some of these special interest groups, multinational companies, would create terrorism to still keep us on guard?
That's an interesting question.
See,
Monsanto has a relationship with Blackwater. It's now called C or something like that. They change the name every few months to hide who they are. But these are ex-CIA, ex-Navy SEAL, and so forth. They're just train killer. They're
They're
mercenary
mercenaries.
killers. Yeah, and Monsanto, there's even some speculation that Monsanto secretly bought out Blackwater or the daughter of Blackwater to what purposes, who knows, but maybe just to be their mafia hit team to kind of enforce countries taking GMO, I don't know. But I think the danger that we've come to in the world economy in the last 30 years is that private multinationals, maybe 147, according to one Swiss analysis of this recently, 147 corporations dominate the wealth of the world economy. 147, and most of those are banks or investment funds in New York, Boston, or London. So this gives you an idea. The power of those multinationals, we're not talking about every corporation, we're talking about Monsanto, we're talking about Bayer in Germany, we're talking about General Electric, we're talking about Boeing. These are select companies, Archer Daniel, Midland, Cargill, name a few. And they have so much power in the lobbies in Brussels that they determine European Union economic policy for agriculture and other things. The trade agreements that Obama is desperately trying to ram down the throats of Europe, so far, fortunately, without much success, would upend any national laws on health and safety in favor of private multinationals doing what they want to do. And the record of Monsanto with the fraudulent scientific testing of their GMO and various other things is very clear. And this would be, Mussolini called his system, we call it Italian fascism during the 20s and the 30s, but it was called corporativism for very good reason. These special corporations determined what government would do, and they determined what the population would do. And that, I think, is a very dangerous trend that we're flirting with all these trans-Pacific and Atlantic trade deals that are
It's
happening.
almost like they're going to take over the world, and we
Well, they're
will
not
be
going
their
to.
lackeys.
I'm pretty optimistic, George, that they're going to fall flat on their face.
Really? You don't think they're going to win?
No, I don't. If we don't let them win, look, we've got the
Good for
majority on
you.
our side.
I'm
Just need
glad you
to have
think
a
that
little bit of
way.
truth.
All right, let's go to the phones. We'll go to Derek in St. Louis to get things started on the wild card line. Hey, Derek, go ahead.
Hey, George, I was in the Carpenters Union here in St. Louis, and we put the drop ceilings in Monsanto's lab there in Olivet. And I got to tell you, that lab was eerie because they had all kinds of equipment in there in case of an accident, the emergency showers, the eyewash station, oxygen. I just remember when we were working in there, I thought, what in the world are they doing in here that is so dangerous?
Yeah. And now
Interesting.
they're unleashing it on the world. Most Americans aren't aware that they're eating almost everything they eat, 80% or more is genetically modified, and most of that is Monsanto.
Right. And they don't label
And
it.
they don't label it. Of course, George Bush Sr. made sure they wouldn't label it because he was in on the deal with the board of Monsanto in 1992. So they don't even test it. The U.S. government doesn't even test this stuff. And this is, there have been independent tests done here in Europe. Seralini's group in Ken University in France have done heroic tests against all, slander and attacks from Monsanto and their front lobby groups. And they show that the chemicals that are paired with Monsanto's GMO seeds, you must sign a contract as a farmer that you buy Roundup with Roundup Ready soybean or corn or other seeds. And Roundup is one of the most toxic chemicals known out there, and Monsanto refuses to let independent chemical analyses be done on their Roundup. They refuse to divulge what the adjuvants are that they add to the glyphosate that is itself a cancer, a probable cancer carcinogen, according to the World Health Organization. So this is madness. It's like some people are out to slowly kill us, and I think it's time we said enough of this. Enough is enough.
Enough is enough. Joe in the Bronx. Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Hey, George. How are you, George?
Good.
Yeah, I wanted to ask William. I understand that Monsanto is being acquired by Bayer. Also, what do you think it would take to get U.S. back on the gold standard? I know we would need a more modernistic level of dollars, not the $35 per ounce that we had in 71. But also, I wanted to ask you, what portion of either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or both economic policies do you think would be good for the country?
Oh, this is a plate load of questions here. I think we talked earlier about the Monsanto-Bayer merger. It's bad news for the world. It's bad news for human health and safety. In terms of what it would take to get the U.S. back on a gold standard, it would take nationalizing six banks, all of them in Wall Street.
And that's not going to happen.
Nationalizing six banks, dividing them up, bringing back Glass-Steagall, the separation of investment banking from commercial and industrial banking, and doing what they did in Sweden. This wasn't communism or socialism. This was simply, on the capitalist system, if you really mess up, you have to pay a penalty. That's how the laws of the market should work. So it would. You asked me how to bring the U.S. back on the gold system. This is how I would answer if I were president. The other thing is the Federal Reserve would have to have some gold. And all the evidence I've seen over a period of at least 20 years indicates they don't have the gold they claim they have. They don't even have the gold, apparently, to give Germany, the Central Bank of Germany, the Bundesbank, the gold that has been there in safekeeping since World War II.
Where did all the gold go that we had, let's say, at Fort Knox?
That's the question. I think a lot of it was depleted before August 1971 when Nixon tore up the Bretton Woods Treaty and said, we don't give you any gold for your U.S. dollars in France or Germany or Japan anymore. You just have to take paper. And I think that was because they simply were running out of central bank gold. And since then, the gold was backed first by the petrodollar in 1973 with a 400% oil price increase. And oil, the U.S. made sure, the U.S. Treasury made sure back then that Saudi Arabia and other OPEC countries would only take dollars. The Germans wanted to give German Deutschmarks, which is a perfectly sound, solid currency back then, so that German machine goods could be sold to Saudi Arabia, Iran, and other countries. And the U.S. intervened and said, no, only U.S. dollars. So that, in effect, gave artificial life support to the U.S. dollar, which was a Wall Street agenda item. As long as the dollar is the world reserve currency, and as long as the United States military has the overwhelming military might in the world, that's the basis of American hegemony, American power, American domination. So now we're in a situation where all of that is wobbly, to put it mildly. The dollar, the debt of the United States government is more than 103-104% of gross domestic product. That's getting close to the area of a country like Greece, but for the United States. And the industrial base of the U.S., and you certainly know this living in New York, the industrial base of the U.S. has been hollowed out over the past 30 years. It's been outsourced to Asia, to China, to Eastern Europe, to South America, to Mexico, and so forth. So what are we left with? The service economy, where the middle class is being destroyed. And what are we doing in America? You know, what are we letting our politicians get away with murder? So now you asked about Trump and Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is a war maker. She's backed by the machine of the neoconservatives. Look at what she's done as Secretary of State, destroying the Middle East and creating war that has fed this refugee crisis, war refugee. It's not a migration crisis. It's a war refugee crisis across Europe. And I can tell you, it is really creating social stresses here in every European country, especially Germany. But she has no problem for the economy. Her sponsors are Goldman Sachs, Wall Street banks. That's where she gets millions in speaker's fees because they expect her to deliver as president.
That's what Bernie said, right?
Well, yeah. And perhaps Bernie Sanders would have had some more sensible suggestions as a presidential candidate than Hillary.
Now, what about Trump?
Trump is an enigma. It's very hard to know what he would do if elected. He is tapped in to something very real in the population. Now, he's historically known as a demagogue. You know, he'll tell the people what they want to hear,
mm-hmm.
and he has some very shrewd political spin artists that give him sound bites and so forth. I think it might be the case he's opened up certain themes among ordinary Americans, working people and so forth, that might be difficult as president to ignore. So if he's against the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement, if he's against the Atlantic Trade Agreement,
mm-hmm. and I think he is
down with Putin and come to some kind of agreement instead of trying to provoke World War III with a formidable opponent, which Russia is, they're not going to lay down and play dead with these provocations.
No.
Ashton Carter and others. So maybe that, it's the most bizarre election I've seen in my lifetime.
I just said that a few days ago, William. I've never seen a campaign like this since I was interested in presidential politics. Never.
Well, Hillary Clinton ought to be disqualified immediately for health reasons. There are indications I've seen on the internet, and this is really bizarre, that this woman who came out after 90 minutes in Chelsea's apartment on 9/11 was a double.
You really think that was? I've heard that, but I don't know if that's true or not.
I've seen analyses of the facial features of both women, and it's pretty convincing. But you don't come out after 90 minutes when you have diagnosed pneumonia and start bending down and greeting little girls on the street who come up to,
Yeah. That's interesting. That is a bizarre. I've got to do a show on that if that's true.
Yeah. Well, look at the symptoms. Look at the medical experts who've looked at the videos, and she, she's campaigning, so there's a lot of video footage out there.
So they called the double. They hit her. They got her up there real fast, and then Hillary was still up there.
Why did they bring her to Chelsea's apartment and not to an emergency hospital?
Boy, that's obvious. Yeah. They had to hide something.
Yeah, so she is, if she's got Parkinson's from these brain concussions, and so these are very, very serious medical issues.
She may be sick. William, we're going to...
Someone who should be president.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back for more. William's website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. His book, I'm going to spell it for you. It's The Lost Hegemon, H-E-G-E-M-O-N. It's a great read. So we're going to come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. Those of you on hold, just hang there. We'll get right to you on Coast to Coast AM. Don't touch your dial. Next hour, we're going to talk about one of the strangest stories you will ever hear, Beyond the Seventh Gate. So looking forward to that. And welcome back. Our final segment with F. William Ingdahl as we talk about all his works. And of all the things you've done, William, which one would you say for you was the one that really hit home? Anything specific? The GMO book, of course, The Gods of Money. Was there one specific topic of your books that you just said, this one's it?
It's difficult to answer because it's the background theme behind all of my books is the power and the abuse of power by certain people to, go against all of us. And whether it's GMO and the Rockefeller Foundation creating this phony golden rice to control the rice bowl of Asia, back 20 years ago before they gave up on it, or whether it's, terrorism and the CIA with Saudi Arabia, Wahhabites back in the 50s, creating this Muslim Brotherhood monstrosity that Hillary Clinton likes so much, it seems. All of that is I suppose, what my sense of purpose in all of this is to bring some light into some dark corners so that more people can understand the world we live in and begin to act intelligently on that and act with consequence rather than being deluded into, you know, the CNN evening pablum feed that we're given as news.
Why do they do this?
I would say my experiences in China and Russia in the last 6 or 7 years have been some of the most personally moving for me, because I've seen a completely different side of the populations in those two countries, and it's quite fascinating. There's a whole world out there that we have kind of closed ourselves to, and some of the most beautiful people I've ever met in my life are Russians and Chinese.
Why do you think they want this? Money and power? What else? What else do they want? They've got everything they need.
I think it's like an addiction. It's like a power addiction is the only way I can describe it. And I've thought a lot about exactly that question, George. Why, you know, how many billions does a George Soros need before he says, okay, I think I can relax and play some golf?
Yeah, let's have some fun here.
Look at the pictures of David Rockefeller. My God, these are the Walking Dead and George Soros and now Hillary. But I think it's a power addiction, and it's a neurological thing in their brains,
mm-hmm.
maybe conditioned to at birth. I you know, it's in a certain sense it's a mystery, but it's certainly not a healthy thing for the rest of the human race. I think these silly old patriarchs ought to, you know, be put on the funny farm somewhere where they can amuse each other and not destroy the world.
They enjoy doing this. They have fun doing it, don't they?
Yeah. Well, it's really sick. It's a sickness that they project onto the rest of mankind, and that. I think the problem is we get fascinated by the power of a George Soros or a Rockefeller or this billionaire or that billionaire, and that's silly. You know, we have the possibility to turn this thing around. We can build the nation back again in a real sense, not just election rhetoric.
That's true.
Americans have the capacities to do wonders if we, you know, kind of focus get our country back. And many of the slogans Donald Trump uses are very real. He's, you know, he's saying the right words. It's a question of whether he's honestly intending to do that, which I don't think is the case.
Let's go to the phones now to wrap things up on this final segment. Christian in Chico, California on the Wild Card line. Hi, Christian. Thanks for holding.
Hello. I was wondering about mega savants in other countries.
I missed that. What was that?
I missed that too. I'm sorry.
Mega savants in other countries.
Mega savants, huh?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And it's like that.
I'm not quite sure. I know the word savant, and I know the word mega, but I don't know what you refer to as mega savants in other countries. I'm sorry. People
like
with capacity to
the
see
government.
That like, will happen in the future, or what exactly? I'm not clear.
They can, like, remember, like, everything.
Okay, but it's a little off topic.
I don't, that's not my specialty, I'm sorry.
All right, thanks, Christian. Donna in Huntsville, Alabama, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Donna.
Hi, Mr. Engdahl. I really appreciate your insight and intellect tonight. I'm concerned about this Monsanto Bayer situation, and I'm actually a native of New Jersey, the Garden State, so I'm very into produce and that type of thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, what do the farmers and the consumers do to protect themselves from all of this? I know that they, you know, infect the seeds and spray. And the other question I had was, is hydroponics any type of a solution against the poisoning and bringing up some safe produce?
Okay, first of all, what farmers and consumers can do to protect themselves, there was a very, very minimum attempt several years ago to have labeling in California and several other states, and Monsanto lobbied the Congress with their usual methods to pass a bill, the Dark Act, it's called, that keeps people in the dark about what they're eating, and no labeling is allowed. So you know, vote these people out. Get some decent human beings in Washington that aren't, you know, licking the plates of the patriarchs who have all the money of Wall Street and Monsanto and so forth to buy their votes.
Trump is probably as close to that difference that you just brought up than any of them, isn't he?
Trump. Did you say
Yeah, I said Trump is closer to anybody that's different than any of the other politicians out there.
Yes, it's certainly in his words. Now, the question is, does he have the capability to make the right decisions if he were in the Oval Office, and who his advisors would be? He's got a mixed bag of advisors, some good, some bad, in my view. So he's sending out many different signals, and it's just not quite clear. Maybe this is the biggest surprise in U.S. history in the post-war World War II period, or not? I have my doubts, but anyway, he's certainly saying many of the right things that I would say.
You sound like you would prefer him over Hillary.
The lesser of two evils is a trap, and I think in this election we're talking about voting for evil one and evil two. American people need a decent alternative. You know, Donald Trump has no qualification to sit in the most important office in the land and in the world as president of the United States of America. He has no experience in foreign policy. He has no experience in government. And
that's why he better surround himself with some pretty darn good people.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
If he's a good executive, that's what you're supposed to do. I surround myself with great people. I don't want inferior people. That doesn't make me look good. It makes me look bad. So I've got a great engineer and a board op, good producers, great producers. That's what I want.
Yeah, of course.
So hopefully if he gets elected, he will do the same thing. Let's go to Charles in Washington. Welcome to the show, West of the Rockies. Hello, Charles.
Well, hello, George.
Good to have you with us.
First of all, I got to say, just about everything you guys are talking about is just about everything I've been bitching about for years. I'm really liking this program.
Well, thank you.
And second, I've got a bit of a problem.
What is that?
I've got 100% clean energy. And I'm just a nobody from nowhere with a hell of an idea, and I don't know what to do with it. I'd like to talk to you about it off the air.
Did you invent it?
Yes. It's my idea thing.
All right, we'll do that. Send me your information, phone call, phone numbers, and all that. As a matter of fact, I'll have Tommy get that. Tom, take care of that for me. Get the information. Who knows? We may come up with something else, William.
It's out there, George. There's so many creative ideas out there and so many possibilities, but the corporatocracy that dominates world trade and Washington suppresses that. There are automobile engines that would run virtually on water that have been thrown into the garbage can by General Motors or whatever it's called nowadays, and because that would threaten their monopoly or their power over the markets.
You had said earlier in the program that maybe within 10 or 20 years, oil will be passe and we'll go to other energy forms and systems. What are the odds of that happening?
I think they're quite good, frankly. All of the major European car companies, BMW, Mercedes, Volkswagen, and so are investing billions in battery technologies that will allow the range and the charge time of 100% electric cars to be feasible, economically feasible.
Without being hacked into. Did you hear about that? Tesla's got to change their software because they've been hacked. People can control your car, literally stop it, take it. Just unbelievable.
I'm not so excited about the idea of these cars running around, on automatic pilot like drones.
Without drivers.
Yeah, without drivers. I think that's not a good way to go. you know, mass transit is a good thing, but not random cars running around without drivers. You could, you know, if somebody were inclined to do something nasty, they could set a drone after the car of somebody and blow them up. So, you know, we have to be intelligent about what we're doing with transportation technology and so forth.
Well, with F. William Ingall, he is live in Germany, by the way, way out there. Port Huron, Michigan, we go. Hello, Harry. It's your turn. Go ahead, Air.
Welcome. George and William. I agree with a lot of what you say, William, but your problem, the problem is, with your anti-war positions, if we don't fight terrorism over there where they are, the rest of the world's going to suffer, unless we don't want people to be free, that is.
Well, let's look at this. May I jump in here?
Yeah.
Let's look at this a little bit more carefully, because several things create an impression that's not quite accurate. The anti-war position, I am against all wars. There is no winner in war. I think we ought to find ways as human beings to live in peace with one another. If somebody attacks me on the street with a knife and is going to kill me, I'm within my rights as a human being to do everything necessary, including killing that attacker, to defend my life. And the same thing with nations. So I'm not anti-war in that sense. The other thing is, kill terrorism abroad so that it doesn't come at home. That's a myth that the Bush administration has promulgated, and it's a myth that the Obama administration has promulgated. They have created those terrorism. They have created that. General Petraeus in Iraq created the Al-Qaeda in Iraq. He created that to use terrorism as a weapon of warfare on a false flag or whatever name you want to give it, basis as a surrogate, as a proxy for stirring up and creating chaos around the world. So we're creating the terrorism, we're not fighting it, and that's the problem. That's the problem. If the Pentagon would get out of the business of creating terrorism, the world would solve its problems and not stick its nose in every corner where somebody is trying to do a policy like China with the South China Sea. Now, Joe Biden, who seems to do something nasty wherever he shows up, Joe Biden goes and meets with Shinzo Abe, the Prime Minister of Japan, and talks about a U.S.-Japan defense cooperation against China. You know, this is not constructive. This is not what the world
needs. It's dangerous, isn't it?
Highly dangerous.
Volatile and everything else. And why do these terror groups that we help form always seem to bite us?
Well, yeah, that's the point. It's the lost hegemon. You know, this is there was a attempted coup d'etat in Turkey that I, my book, The Lost Hegemon, goes into great detail on one of the key actors in that coup d'etat, Fethullah Gulen, who sits in Salisbury, Pennsylvania, in CIA exile. And Gulen has created a network, or the CIA has used him to create a network in Turkey that infiltrated the military, that infiltrated the judiciary, that infiltrated the entire school system to create kind of a silent coup d'etat and turn Turkey into a weapon of the Pentagon. And at a certain point, Erdogan, who played along with that for a number of years to get elected and have a, you know, mass base,
mm-hmm.
he broke with Gulen, and he broke with the agenda of war against Syria and war against Russia, which was, or war de facto, a total break in relations, back in May, and fired his prime minister, who's pro-NATO, and started making peace feelers to Russia, to Putin. And once that happened, Washington went ballistic because they were afraid that they would lose Turkey as a key player in their war games against the world, really. And so they staged this coup d'etat using Gulen's generals, Fethullah Gulen's generals. It backfired on them.
Backfired big time.
And, yeah, big time. And now, you know, these Gulen networks are being cleaned up inside Turkey, in other countries. They're even here in Germany. They're one of the most dangerous because they masquerade as the good Muslims, the Sufi, the peace-loving, shaking hands with the Pope and all this. It's all phony baloney. It's a cover for a CIA operation that's one of the most extensive, $50 billion worth of assets worldwide.
$50 billion? Gosh.
$50 billion is the Gulen organization, and apparently a lot of it is reported to come from narcotics trafficking in Central Asia and so forth, where they're... Gulen schools and so forth.
William, we've only got
Gulen charter schools across the United States that get federal money to indoctrinate youth into this fanatical ideology. Look into that, G-U-L-E-N, Gulen Charter Schools, United States, and you'll be alarmed at what you come.
That's scary. Okay, we're wrapping up here. Where do people get your books?
Lost Hegemon. Amazon is the best place to get them. I self-publish. It's a support for me and my
okay.
research.
All right. That's a lot of work. Okay, thank you, William. Appreciate you being on the program way out there in Germany. And technology truly is amazing. Up next, we're going to talk Beyond the Seventh Gate. Timothy Renner joins us. This is a strange, strange story, but it could scare you. I think you'll like it.